Just in my time with the Lord this morning, I was thinking about this scripture, actually a couple of scriptures, but they're connected. This is from Hebrews chapter 11. We know that in the Old Testament, we're told and repeated in the New Testament that the just shall live by faith. And so whether you're an Old Testament believer or a New Testament believer, our walk with the Lord is a walk of faith. Scripture says that that which is not of faith is sin. That's in Romans 14. And in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So understanding what it means to walk in faith must be important, because that's how we please God. If you're not doing things in faith, it's sin. The whole Christian life is a life of faith. So this is Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I just kind of look at the first part of that, and this is something the Lord really ministered to me this morning, and that is this, is that often I found in my own walk with the Lord, and find a lot in the lives of others in their walk with the Lord, of finding themselves in situations and trying to live in faith, but can't, just struggling to believe. And the reason is because they've been not dwelling in the soil of hope, because faith is the substance of things you're already hoping for. Not necessarily hoping for a certain thing or a specific thing, but just an atmosphere of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, faith is substance, and so faith is about specifics, about situations that you believe in God for. But if you're not living in the soil or walking in the realm of hope, then you can't just move into faith. But if you're living in an atmosphere of hope, then you're able to just, in each situation, immediately walk in the faith of Christ. And so in thinking about what hope is not the English word hope, which means I'm wishing something will happen, but hope in the New Testament is a word that means a confident expectation, but not just a confident expectation, but a confident expectation of good. There's a place in the Old Testament that says, I would have fainted if I not believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so we know about the nature of God, that he's determined to be good to us. The cross tells us that God was determined to break through our brokenness and fallenness and our yuck and our darkness to be good to us, to rescue us, to make us whole, save us. And so God's goodness and the reality of God's goodness and our understanding of God's goodness is the soil in which all Christian life grows. If you remember back in the Old Testament, Exodus, when Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, and God made his goodness to pass before him. God's glory is most revealed when his goodness is on display. And so to live in an atmosphere of hope, and hope, we're told in Scripture, is the anchor of your soul. Hope deferred is a heart that grows sick. Romans 15 says that God is a God of hope, not a God of pessimism, not a God of condemnation. That's not who he is. God's a God of hope. And if we don't live in hope, then we're just tossed to and fro. There's no anchor to our walk with the Lord. So our hope is a confident expectation that we will see the goodness of God. Romans 8:28 sort of screams that at us, doesn't it? Even if everything around us seems to be falling apart, we can be confident. He says, he will cause all things to work together for good. He doesn't cause everything. We live in a fallen world. There's a real devil. But he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so when I'm living in hope, there's just this general disposition that I have a confident expectation that I'm going to see the goodness of God, a confident expectation that God's goodness is going to be on display, even if I can't see it now. That's a general disposition. Romans chapter 8 says, God is for you and not against you. There's a place in Hebrews chapter 12, which was the other verse I wanted to read you, when he's contrasting the disposition of Old Testament followers, Old Testament believers, who lived in fear of breaking the law. They lived in fear that God would be a God of condemnation because they didn't understand grace. It was before the cross. So there's a lot of performance going on. And he's contrasting that with the New Testament church. without putting the super deluxe glasses on. Let me read this. It says, but you have come. Well, let me just read this little section. It'll make more sense. For you have not come, speaking to us as believers, Christians, to a mountain that may be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and to gloom, and to whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged no further sound be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain where the fire of God was, the glory of God was, it would be stoned. They didn't understand God's goodness. He didn't start being good in the New Testament. Like, the cross didn't put the Father in a good mood. They just didn't understand it. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But that shouldn't be the disposition of the New Testament believer. But you, Christian, have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of better things. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. So any time in the scriptures it talks about the blood of Christ, he's talking about his finished work. And because of his finished work, you and I are in Christ, and we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in him. That's what it says. You have been blessed. It's not about whether God's going to bless you or not. He has fully blessed you by placing you into Christ, because every blessing that's on Jesus is yours. Again, you've been placed into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he has with the Father as a free gift. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so that's when he says the blood, the finished work of Christ, is always speaking better things over us. And so for me to live in hope, I abide in that. That, Lord, you're always speaking better things over me. The new covenant is a better covenant. You're always speaking blessing over me. There's always better things that you have for me that I even get. I'm always discovering more of the better things, because to comprehend the favor that Jesus has with the Father is incomprehensible. I have to get that little inch at a time, but I have to beg him for favor, plead with him to be nice to me, to be good to me. The goodness of God that the Father has with Jesus, he has with me. So I live with that, Lord, you're always speaking better things over me, and you're never against me, you're always for me. Man, to go to bed at night, to wake up in the morning, and both of be the first things you think, Lord, I'm so grateful that you love me. I'm so thankful that you always are for me, and you're never against me, and you're always speaking better things over my life. Your finished work declares that. And so live, Lord, I live in a confident expectation that I'm going to see your favor in my life. That's my general disposition. And from that soil, a circumstance comes up, and I can believe. I can believe specifically I'm going to see the goodness of God. I'm going to see the favor of God in this particular situation, because faith is substance. See, faith is substance. The situation, the circumstance doesn't decree the truth to me. My idea of truth isn't, or my understanding of truth, or the truth is not decreed and declared by the situation or the circumstance or the person or this. Jesus is the truth. That's my faith is in that. That's substance. And so I find myself in a particular situation going, well, I'll give you an example, a contemporary one. I got something wonky going on. I don't know if I've dislocated my hip or whatever. Something's weird happened on this last trip. When you get older, it's just so much more fun than when you're young, because you just never know what to expect. And I'm supposed to go to Paris on Tuesday. Now, I don't know how this is all going to happen. I don't even know if I can get to a doctor before then that can see me. But I'm not trying to work from a place of a blank place out of panic into a place of faith. You with me? I'm living from a place of hope, of confident expectation is goodness, and now specifically in this situation. And my faith is substance, because it's based on what's real, the truth of who he is. And nothing about this situation has changed the truth about who he is to me, who he is for me, and who he is in me. And he's good. And I will see the goodness of God. You understand? That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't know that God's good, you can't be living in an atmosphere of hope And living, trying to live by faith can be the most frustrating thing in the world because you're always trying to scramble into this place out of panic. And it's just so much easier just to, from the soil of hope, just now apply that to this one particular thing, that whatever it is you're walking through, situationally, relationally, financially, emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.